We're continuing with Eicha. We're up to the first chapter, the 13th pasuk. Mimarom shalach eish be'atzmotai vayirdenam. From up above, Hashem sent a heaven down to my bones and broke them. And here the bones is a reference to the strength of the cities. One who reads Josephus reads about the impervious walls. The Roman Empire didn't see how they could break through the walls. And we have a tradition that Hashem sent a fire from above to burn those walls. Ordinarily, fire doesn't take hold of stone. But Hashem sent the fire from above to cause the walls to crack, to bring the enemy in. Paras reshet l'raglai heshivani achor. Netanani shomeima kol hayom davam. Hashem spread out the net to catch my feet. Hashem is the one that caused me to retreat. Hashem is the one that made me desolate. Hashem is the one that made me weak all day. Kol hayom davam. All day I'm like a woman who's having her period. I'm weak and people want to stay away from me. And when we read this pasuk, so we could think the pasuk is throwing blame, and it's the exact opposite. One of the great messages of learning Tanakh is the recognition that it's Hashem's hand in our destruction. And so the verse in Eicha is recognizing, just as the walls were taken down by heavenly fire, so to every other part of our capture, which seems natural, was really Hashem's doing. It was Hashem who spread the net for my feet to be caught. Niskad ol pesha'ai biyado yistaregu alu al tzavari hichshil kochi. Hashem carried the weight, and the weight became too heavy, so to speak. The weight of my rebellious ways. Yistaregu alu al tzavari. And so these sins became bound together, so to speak, interwoven, as they encompassed my throat and weakened my strength. And so the verse is describing the sins the way we find often in the prophets, as strings that attach. You guys ever been to a shipyard? You see those massive ropes? Well, you know that each of those ropes began with little threads that spun together into bigger threads, that spun together into ropes, that spun together into bigger ropes. And when you're in the shipyard, you can see two levels down when you see those big ropes, right? So you see the interwoven of those ropes. You see how the large ropes were spun into an even larger rope. So that's the description of sin. That way, a person starts off, he does something little, it's like a little string, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. So before you know it, you start having this big, thick string. So that's what the Navi is saying. The weight of my sin got so weighty in his hands, it became intertwined into this huge rope that surrounded my throat and caused me to stumble. Nitanani Adonai bidei lo uchalkum. Hashem gave me into the hands of an enemy whom I couldn't stand up against. Sila chol abirai Adonai bikirbi kara alai moed lishbo bachurai. Hashem gathered all the strong enemies to come and attack me. Sila chol abirai. Hashem smashed all my powerful warriors. Kara alai moed lishbo bachurai. Hashem called a time and said, that's the time for everyone to gather and destroy my young men. And the term silah, so to speak, Hashem gathered, and the term mo'ed, which also means Hashem gathered. So the Navi over here is really, he's using metaphoric terms, and he's saying that surrounding Jerusalem, there were streams of blood from all the virgins that were raped around Jerusalem. Silah ola birai Hashem. And the Navi is saying this was part of Hashem's plan. This was part of the destruction that was declared. And that's Gat darach Adonai livtulat bat Yehuda. That Hashem had the virgins of Judea being trampled, and you had streams like the streams that flow out of a wine press. That's Gat darach Hashem. That Hashem trampled the virgins of Judea like one tramples in a wine press. And that's the midrashic understanding. The literal understanding is that they were trampled to death, that there was the blood of the people all around Jerusalem. And that's the Betulat Bat Yehuda, as we know from the Song of Songs. Judea, because of the expected purity of Judea, that's why Judea is called Betulat Bat Yehuda, the Virgin of Judea. Chazal tell us that the year of the destruction was an exceptional year as far as the Jewish calendar, in that ordinarily the month of Tammuz only has 29 days. And that year of the destruction, the calendar was shifted, and suddenly Tammuz had 30 days. And it was part of the godly planning so as to ensure that it would be on the ninth of Av that the destruction would happen. And that's the idea of Kara Alai Moed. God declared upon me a set time, Nishbol Bachurai, to break my chosen ones. Because there was a set time from the time of the spies, which was part of God's plan, that destruction would befall the Jewish people specifically on this time. That's Kara Alai Moed. The flip side is that we see that Tisha B'Av is called a Mo'ed, and that also has halachic applications, as we will learn when we learn the laws of Tisha B'Av, that there is also, a rejoicing aspect, which brings us to the dual nature of the destruction. It's like the phoenix, where Chazal tell us that the Mashiach was born on the day the temple was destroyed. So whatever that means, that his spirit came to the world and it's just waiting to do its job, Tisha B'Av also has that part in it. The idea that it's that the greatest destruction is also the source, the foundation for the future building. Al eile ani vochia. Over these I weep. Eini. Eini yored amayim, my eye as it tears, ki rachak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi, because no one can comfort me, and whatever comfort could be coming to me has been distanced from me. I weep over the children whose heads were smashed on stone. I weep over the pregnant woman whose stomachs were cut in half. The people of Israel says, I cry and I cry, and my eyes tear as a stream would flow, because who can comfort me over these losses? Hayu vanai shomimim ki gavar. Oyev, my children were destroyed because the enemy overtook us. Peresatzion beyadeha. Zion spreads out her hands in suffering, like a woman extending her hand in pain as she cries. Ein menachem la. there's no one there to comfort her. Tziva Adonai le'Yaakov sevivav tzarav. Hashem commanded Jacob to keep the laws of the Torah. They transgressed. And that's why troubles after troubles have surrounded Yaakov. Hayeta Yerushalayim lenida beinehem. Jerusalem became like a city that's compared to a woman who's had her onset, where no one wants to come close to her. She's filthy. They all look at her with scorn. Whereas a woman ordinarily has beauty and she can attract. Jerusalem, that used to be the most beautiful of cities, Chazal tell us, when they'd gauge a king, whether he was worth something, just like today they gauge you based on your apartment in Martha's Vineyard, your apartment in Florida, your apartment in Switzerland. In the days of the temple, the kings throughout the world would be gauged what type of villa they have in Jerusalem. Real estate was so high because every king would be gauged based on what kind of home does he own in Jerusalem. It was considered the place where kings went. Jerusalem was the city of kings. And now Jerusalem, that was the city of beauty, became lenida, like a woman who's had her onset where no one's interested. Yes? It would seem, yes. What?
Even still, a real estate is pretty up there.
Right. Tzaddik hu Adonai kifi hu maritim. The simple reading of the verse is Am Yisrael is making a declaration. Hashem is righteous because I rebelled against what he said. Chazal tell us that this verse is being borrowed. It is incorporated in the Megillah, but really the first person to say it was not the prophet Jeremiah. The first person to say it was Yoshio the king, the pious king, who looked at the Torah where the Torah says, if you keep my word, Hashem says, no sword will pass through your land. And so when Paro, who was a cripple, Paro Necho, wanted to pass through Israel en route to fight a different battle. He wasn't interested in us. So Yoshio said, I'm keeping the Torah, and it says in the Torah, if you keep the Torah, then no sword shall pass through your land. I have my KGB, my CIA, my FBI, my Mossad. I have all my agents spread out throughout the land, ensuring there's no idol worship. We are pious, and so Paro won't succeed in passing through this land. No one asked him to do it. And Yoshiyahu did not ask Hashem whether he should do it, nor did he ask the prophet. And Paro asked him, I'm not interested in fighting you. Don't come and bother me. I'm just taking a shortcut through your land. But he didn't listen. And when he approached, the archers located him, and they shot arrow after arrow till they made him like a sieve. There were so many holes punctured through him. And the pious standing next to him heard his lips as he uttered his last words, and those were the words in this pasuk. Tzaddik hu Hashem, Hashem is righteous, kifi hu mariti, because I have gone against his word. I should have asked him. I should have asked his prophet. At his final moment, he realized it. And then Yirmiyo came to lament and eulogize Yoshio. Shim'una chol ha'amim Ur'u mach'ovi Betulotai uvachurai Halechu vashevi. And so in Jeremiah's eulogy over Yoshio, he said, listen here, all the nations. Look at my pain. Because after Yoshio's passing, Yirmiyo realized the destruction is coming. Our last hope was the pious King Yoshio. And now that he's been killed, It wasn't a personal failing. It was now the falling of the people. And so in Jeremiah's eulogy over Yoshiyahu the king, Jeremiah said, look at my pain, people, because when I look around at the crowd, all the young men and virgin that I see, you're all going to end up in captivity. This wasn't an individual that passed. It was the people as a whole that have now taken the steps towards their final destruction. Karati lam ahavai, hey marimuni. I called my lovers. They seemed like they liked me in the past. But no. They turned their back. They were traitors in spite of our peace treaties. They turned their backs on us. Kohanai uzkenai. Ba'ir gavahu. My elders, my priests, within my cities they passed away. Ki vikshu ochel lamo v'yashivu et nafsham. They passed away as they were walking through the city looking for food. Many people died from famine and starvation. That's what happened in the first temple and in the second temple. There was a siege, and the elders, the priests, they were looking for food as they died. So, over here, our sages understood that this pasuk is a reference to Jewish history. It's not only a reference to the destruction of the first temple. Our sages understood this would be a recurring theme in our history, that our leaders would put faith into peace treaties, and this is what brought down the second temple as well. People had faith in their peace treaty with the Romans, be it Titus, Aspasianus, that people had faith in their peace treaty with the Romans, and ultimately that's what brought us down. Re'ei Adonai ki tzar li me'ai chomar maru nepach libi בקרבי כי מרו מריתי. Hashem, look at how I'm suffering. Me'ai chomar maru. My innards have become scorched. My innards have shriveled up. Nepach libi. My heart overturns within me. Ki maro mariti. And I know the cause of all of this was because I was rebellious. And here you see how he's stressing the rebelliousness of the people. He says, Maro mariti, I was doubly rebellious against the Torah. Michutz shikelacherev babayit kamavet. People who stepped outside were killed by the sword. People who stayed inside were dying from famine and disease. And so Hashem is seen as the cause of it all. He declared this destruction. Shame'u ki ne'enacha ani ein menachem li. My enemies heard how I sigh. The nations heard, and no one comforted me. Did you guys hear how many resolutions they made about the Flotilla? How many resolutions they made about the poor Palestinians? What did anyone say when Jews were killed in Bulgaria? Where's the world? Where's the left? Where are the liberals? They hear when I sigh, and there is no one there to comfort me. Kol oyevai shame'u ra'ati sasu. All my enemies, when they heard that I was suffering, they rejoiced. You know they were giving out candies, right? Ki ata asita. Because you did it, Hashem. They see your hand in it too. or it could be understood alternatively that you caused me to be hated by them. Am Yisrael is saying, you told me not to marry them. You told me not to drink with them. You kept me separate, and you ensured that I would be hated by them. Heveta yom karata v'yiyuchamoni. And I wish that you bring on them a day like you've brought on me, and they should be where I am today. And you will notice that Jeremiah concludes chapter after chapter with a hope for revenge, with a hope for fairness in the world, with a hope that the world or the enemies who rejoiced at our suffering or who brought the suffering on us will be repaid. And we have to think about why that is so. The whole chapter describes how this is all Hashem's doing. And at the end of the chapter, Yirmiyahu says, but pay them back. Tavo chol ra'atam lefanecha ve'olel lamo. All their evil should be remembered before you, and you should do unto them, ka'asher olalta, as you did, li al kol pesha'ai, just as you did to me for all of my rebellious ways. Where are we being clued in here? If we deserved it, so then what do we want from them? Ki rabot anchotai velibi davai. Because my sighing is so great and my heart is so weak. And that brings us to the conclusion of the first chapter. So we have some things to think about as we go into the second chapter. Yes?
The question is, what did King Yoshiyahu, what did he do wrong? Because then he tried to enforce Torah with the Eretz Israel.
Thank you. I forgot to mention what Yoshiyahu did wrong. So we went with the pshat of the Medrash here, that what he did wrong was that he didn't ask. He had a Rebbe, he had a prophet Jeremiah. He had a Kohen, he could have asked Hashem. He didn't do either. He said, this is what I think is right, I'm doing it. Why don't you ask? There are people who know more than you. He paid for that mistake with his life. Chazal tell us that there was idol worship. He misassessed the situation. People would have double doors, and they'd cut up their idol in two, and when his spies would come to see the house, so you'd open the double doors, you couldn't recognize it was an idol. When they'd leave, they'd close the double doors, and then it would form the idol again, and they'd worship that. So the Talmud says, the people in his generation, in Yoshio's generation, were careful to outsmart his secret service, and so the people were not as pious as he thought. He thought he had abolished idol worship from the land, and he was wrong. So that was his mistake, that he didn't ask. He should have asked, should I go to war or not? When King David went to war, he asked before he went to war. King David asked. Yoshio went to war without asking.
I thought he said to Paro,
he told Paro not to pass through. Paro said, I'm passing through and I'm not interested in fighting you. Today is not our day of war. Leave me alone.
And he went out against Paro.
He thought that the verses backed him, but he misassessed the state of the people. Yes?
I was still in Vancouver when the Winter Olympics were there, and there was a bobsledder who was killed in a training accident. And they had a complete moment of silence. Everyone stood, the flags were lowered, and had a mask. But it's Jim who cares, right?
Yeah. There's a lot to think about also in the Medrash's claim, Hashem, you did this to us. We discussed this a little bit last week, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a similar claim in the war against the Midianites. But these are thoughts that Jeremiah opens up before us and doesn't close. We'll have to see as we go through the Megillah.